Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment presents The Process. Welcome back to your home for football and fantasy football, where we learn, scout, win, and repeat. Time to continue the process. I'm your host, Ralph Lark. What's up, y'all? Excited to be talking about week 9 of NFL fantasy football action. That's what we do up in here if you are new to the program. Whew, take a breath. I'm always so pumped to just get back into it again, especially after a fantastic week like last week where we nailed the picks. We win the cash game. Didn't quite pull in a tournament, but it's exciting to not be too far off. It's exciting to be chasing because it just takes one tournament win 1 week to not only pay off everything for the year, but come out ahead. It's exciting when you're chasing that and it's not like a pipe dream, right? If you guys are playing the plays that I've been suggesting, then you're right there with me. The cash games, we're obviously taking care of that. So you're building the bankroll. If we win those cash games and play the way that we talked about playing a few weeks ago, recorded on the podcast, you should theoretically be positive, more cash, but you're playing the same as you were before. That's what this is all about. If you're new to the show, by the way, welcome. We like first-time offenders. We are here to discuss how we might dominate our seasonal fantasy football leagues and how we might dominate daily fantasy football on a weekly basis. We want football to pay for itself. We want to be winners. We want to have fun. We want to dominate. We don't want grandma winning the fantasy football league. My trophy. My trophy every time. Every league. That's what we're here for. By the way, if you're a repeat offender, love Hardhead, so welcome back to the show. We'll dive right into it. There's so much that we have to go over, and so I need to get you guys the picks because we got to go through all our usual segments as we would, but we'll get you the picks in the end. That's the stuff that's been working, so I'm not going to hold back the gold. Remember, empowering you to pepper my picks in with your stuff, never suggesting that you just solely rely on me, but if you were just playing my picks, and again, I'm not playing things that I'm not telling you guys. I'm only playing on Sunday what I've gone over here, in some cases, already filled out the lineups and things like that. So this is very true to the heart of what I'm doing to get ahead on Sundays. You can do it too if you follow the process. Every week we have some sort of a different mission, some sort of a different analogy that can be applied to what we need to do. And we're in a war right now, right? We're in a war. You all need to think about yourselves as the emperor of your fantasy football worlds, right? Like you, that's what we're all here. We're trying to dominate, right? We want to be in control. We want to be in charge. We want to be the winners. You want to win the cash. You want to win the bragging rights, whatever. But maybe you're in for fun, right? You're the emperor of fun. Okay, there's some people like that. But for what we want to do is we want to come out this week and we want the empire to strike back. That's what we're doing this week for fantasy football. Each week is like a little micro battle, right? It's like, think about all your opponents. These are the other people in the fantasy football realm. You're the emperor. These insolent people are trying to take over. They're trying to take your throne, claim that their teams are better than yours. No, no. Poo-poo on that. We can't have that. Not around here. Not for Tiger Bombers. Uh-uh. We don't play that. As one homie the clown might say, as I again date myself in the very 10 minutes opening of the show. If you're new, that happens a lot too. But the Empire Strikes Back. Because we are outmanned. Yes, it's more opponents than us. But we are never outgunned. We always have a strategy. We always have some sort of a game plan to rise to the top. Because as one brilliant Macho Man Randy Savage so eloquently stated on one WWE main event Saturday night, the cream always rises to the top. I don't have a creamer to demonstrate as he did so perfectly, but you'll get the idea, I suppose. Strike down the insurgents weekly. That's what we're doing. We're hunting them out. The Empire's striking back. We're not waiting for them. Oh, it's going to be a tough matchup next week. No, it's not like that. Get on the offense. We got to strike back. Look ahead. You got to get some sort of an edge. If you've got weak positions going up against opponents coming up and you got your starting lineup secure, use that bench. Not every running back needs a handcuff. Use that bench. Get your opponent's kicker. Get his tight end if it's out there. If you have a dump spot anyway, get aggressive with how you might use it. That's what you need to do. That's how you win. That's how the Empire strikes back this week. So, something to keep in mind. Because you can't give away not even the bye week. This is why at the process, we're always considering, even back to the draft, when these people's bye weeks are. We're not like our opponents where it's just like, oh man, all of a sudden I've got a bunch of guys on bye because I never thought about that before, right? You need to be considering those things when you trade players too, right? Trading away guys who've yet to had their bye. Trading for guys who's already had their bye, right? It's these little small nuggets. And those add up to the hill of beans, as the saying says, right? So this is where your heads need to be for week 9 as we prepare the Empire to strike back on Sunday. But again, for seasonal, get any piece. That's if you have a weak spot. Don't, sit a good starter to get a piece of your opponent's, team that's like got less, lesser of a forelook, outlook or talent or whatever the case may be. Don't do that. Not saying that. After late season trades, right, which you may be at now, or even guys returning from the IR, like you may be having that now, be sure to upgrade your depth charts. We made a depth chart at the beginning of the season. I'm going to play this guy, then this guy, then this guy, then this guy, right? And we want to stick to that, right? But ultimately, as you integrate talent, and I know many of you are doing this because we spoke about it before when we talked about having a plan to get to what happens when you get to this point in the season. Now we're at that point in the season where you've been stashing this guy, or your Landry came back, or you're getting your CMC back. And so as you integrate these new guys in, do it again. Make a depth chart. Stick to it. You're not going to win fantasy football playing the better matchup weekly. If you could win that way, you'd be working in Vegas. You wouldn't have whatever job you have right now. You can't do it. None of us can. Okay? Stick to your depth chart. It won't fail you. I promise. But it's a good time to adjust, right? If you've got, some guy that's habitually outperformed some other guy that you've been starting ahead of him, it doesn't make sense to keep doing that, right? And here's a good example. I've had Javonte Williams ahead of Melvin Gordon on a couple of teams that I've had them on all year, and I've been playing it that way, sticking to my guns. As you guys may know, if you've been watching the games, Gordon's been doing a little better, so I'm coming to a crossroads, right? Am I going to keep buying into this, the rookie's coming on, wait for it, or am I going to take what's in front of me, which is touchdown upside, the throwing passes to Gordon as well, and he's just as involved. So that's what I mean when I say, there's an example. Me deciding this is probably the week to go to him on those teams. If I have to start one of the two, right? If I have better options, I play better options. But if my options are him or Williams, it's got to be him based on what I've seen. Because the outlook is there. Another thing we want to consider as we strike back this week, this is from a DFS perspective, because we've been burning up the DFS too, so we're not going to stop that. One thing you got to consider is ownership. I'm going to preach this until I'm blue in the face, because if you think you're going to win football this week with Jordan Love, or you're going to win with Taysom Hill. Oh, actually, you can't with Hill because they're going to start Simeon now. See? but many of you are going to play Hill for the salary saver aspect in the DFS world. Listen, you can't win that way. It's too popular of a pick. All the people are going to do that. The upside of picking them is severely diminished when you ask yourself one question. Is there somebody else out there that can get these points? Is there somebody less popular that can get these points? Because you are making life harder when you associate yourself with the herd in fantasy football. We have to go away from the herd. If we all have the same players, if there's 11 slots and we all have the, 10 of the same players, that means you better get it right with that 11th one, right? Like, you've got to be different in order to win. If there's only so many players and that's the scenario, you guys could all potentially end up tying. So there's less money in the tournament, right? Like, you've got to get different. Getting different gets you above that minutia. And so it's very important that for the sake of, like, winning tournaments, winning 50-50s, NFL is tough to win on DraftKings, okay? I'm telling you right now, you've got to respect the ownership guidelines that we're setting, and that'll make your life a lot easier. Get away from the popular plays that are chalk. It's the upside is usually not as good as you're trying to make it out to be, is the reality of that perspective. You know, when you're considering playing players, is a guy going to, have a good day? Is this guy going to have a good day? Those are great things to consider. But also, can the good pay off? I'm saying this stuff to you guys this way because it dawns on me that when I give my DFS picks, I'm just shooting the names at you. But I really probably should be explaining why I'm not picking the other people. Like, if CMC were to play this week, I think he's too expensive. He's coming back. We don't know what we're getting. He's a little banged up. It's going to be hard for him to get 3.5 times value back, right? Hubbard, $6,100, also just too expensive. If CMC plays, yes. If not, still too expensive for what he's been doing. So it becomes a scenario where, is the ground game a positive aspect of that contest for that team? I think so, but I can't get invested from a DFS aspect because it doesn't pay to do it, right? Maybe in a seasonal world, you got Hubbard and CMC's not coming back, and you gotta play them and feel good about it, right? But these are the nuances between seasonal and daily. Being one at the better will make you better at the other one. I'm convinced. All right. Now, I also want to talk finally about stacking. Listen, I don't point it out each week and go, here's my stack, there's my stack. But, guys, I'm stacking in tournaments. You don't have to do it so much in cash games. But in tournaments, certainly got to stack. That's how you, again, jump over the competition and get rid of like-minded lineups, if you will. You have your stack, and then you put together your minutiae around it. There's a better percentage to winning tournaments when you have a stack that goes off, right? You pick three guys from the same team, the quarterback and a wide receiver and a tight end, or a quarterback and the two wide receivers. The correlation of you winning that tournament goes up if you have a stack. It's much harder to one-off, two-off pick, guys from teams and hope that they all pick. Easier to, pick less scenarios correctly that involve more of the correct players. I hope that makes sense. If it doesn't, rewind it, because these things that we're talking about on the DFS stuff, this is gold nuggets. I could just keep giving you the names, and as of late, you could just keep winning. But that doesn't help you advance where you want to be. Maybe you want to do podcasts. Maybe you want to be in the sports world. Maybe you have some other motivation that requires you to go more than just hearing me say the name. I'm freely giving you guys all this information, and I'm just getting things right off. I'm just looking at stats off Pro Football Focus. I'm just looking at fantasy football, Pro PFF. I'm just looking at Football Reference, looking at stats like, pressure percentages and things like that, and applying it along with my little knowledge of, what I know from playing football in high school, like everybody in the world, right? And a love of the game. Understanding some technical aspects of it, especially in the secondary. it's come to value, but I'm trying to teach you how to take what you have and take it to value too, or we could just keep doing the numbers. It's up to you. All right, let's get into the actual portions of the show that you guys want, the picks for this week. Before we do that, let's let the noobs understand exactly how to keep up with us. Guys, I appreciate it if we can all stick together so you can get this free info. I mean, as I grow the show, I don't think the info will be free forever, but the idea is that if you were rocking with me before that happens, you're grandfathered in. You always get the juice. Always get the juice. Listen, www.tigerbombsae.com. That's our website, Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment. You can find all of the Tiger Bombs podcasts there. It's a true crime one. Check it out. What happened? That's the name of it. You could listen to this podcast there. You could click on the process page. You could literally check it out right there. Listen in tab. If you are a maybe you are an app person, you like to listen to your podcast on the go, you want to mix this in with the other things you're listening to as you walk around the block, whatever. Spotify, iTunes, I got you. It's cool, baby. We got you. You can search for Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment. This podcast will pop up. You can like and subscribe. Smash that, as all the people say, smash that button. I'm just saying that. I'm sorry if you're new. I've never said that before, and I will never say it again. It was a joke. But ultimately, like and subscribe is all I'll say about that. That way you can keep up, get access to the older episodes. They are filled with knowledge here, as you say, and as you see, and concepts, right? That opening intro that I just did is filled with concepts. We talked specifically about stuff this week, but conceptually, I gave you stuff that over and over again is applicable to every week of fantasy football. If you're a social media person, Facebook or Twitter, great. You can catch up with me there too, at The Process, TBSAE. I'll do stardom sit-ums, whatever, try to help you sort that stuff out. Really nice banter we can do that way, or on day of or Saturday before games, stuff like that, at The Process, TBSAE. And you can always email me here if for some reason I've made you disgruntled. I'm so sorry. Not sure what I could do about it, but you're welcome to let me know about it. It's theprocess@tigerbombsae.com. All right, those are all the fantastic ways to keep up with us. And now let's get on to our Week 9 info. And now it's time for The Process to reload. All right, you guys know what time it is. We'll get into it, a little bit of reload, and we'll start with the Thursday night game, just quickly to touch on it. Indy putting up them points. Both of these defenses, really, if you look at the score, had problems stopping the offenses. Mike White, the new prodigal son of New York, goes down in the game, and Johnson has to step in and play and doesn't play terribly poorly, does end up costing, some turnovers down the end there. But, the Jets were obviously mismatched in that one. Ty and Michael Carter did fine in the backfield. I thought the receivers did a little better than I expected them to, even though Indy's got soft coverage. Elijah Moore looked like a superstar out there. On the other side of things, Wentz kept doing what he does. Taylor was brilliant. Wasn't really good competition for them. Saleh and company look, pretty depleted on the short week. But we'll see if they can rally next week, and we'll see what Mike White feels like. Maybe he can get back out there. But ultimately, the Colts needed this one after a letdown with Tennessee last week. I said it would be a close game, but I thought they would win that one. They didn't get it. But they did come back strong this week to try to stay alive with the season. We'll see where it goes. It's like a TB continued for them, right? Reload. Let's get into the Sunday action, though. Minnesota at Baltimore. This should be a fun one. I'm thinking this goes a few ways, right? And the essence of it is we know Kirk Cousins can be rattled by pressure. Baltimore has been able to get some pressure, but not a lot this year. I think he'll have enough time to get off some passes. Like, he's not going to be able to have his whole menu of options, available to him, because he won't have that much time. He will have some pressure, but I think Cousins is okay to do some damage in this matchup here. And so Thielen, I'm not so much hot on him, but I do think he will be able to get it to Jefferson. Jefferson will do his best to make that transition easier. But that's what's in play here. And Cook, Baltimore has had some problems stopping the run. They've got some injuries on the D-line. They could be in an even more precarious situation against the run. And so Cook looks great. Minnesota will try to establish the run and then use that play action, right? So I'm all about Conklin. I'm all about Jefferson this week, sorry, but I'm probably out on Thielen. I don't care if you're in on Thielen, good for you. I'm not going to poo-poo it, but just me personally and the way that the coverages line up, it's not looking as promising for him, in my opinion. And for the Baltimore side, I think Baltimore wins this game. I really think it all obviously runs through Captain Legs, Lamar Jackson, the man, the myth, the legend. He's going to take over on Sunday just like he does every Sunday, and he's going to rule the roost. He's going to be the big dog in the yard, or whatever other analogy you're looking for to have you understand that he's going to be able to run the ball at will and pass the ball. Patrick Peterson's out for Minnesota in the secondary for the year. He's done now. He had a revelation coming over from Arizona where he was stinky trash last year and the year before. He came over. He was playing lights out. He's out now. Otherwise, that's not a great unit. I think that there's going to be some deficiencies, and now is the time that it starts to show its head. So, Hollywood Brown, load it up. Bateman, he's just got the targets. We can't deny those targets, so you got to load him up, especially in the DFS world, way too cheap. But Baltimore will win this game, and Lamar, as I said, will lead the way. But I do believe Cousins will activate those guys I mentioned before. Reload. New England and Carolina, this should be an interesting one. I think Bill will have his way with Sam Darnold, who we have to see if he even plays. He's yet to clear concussion protocol, so we're still working on that. Terrence Mitchell coming back. I really like him as a secret weapon this week because Bill tries to take away the things you want to do. The things that they may want to do is run the ball with Carolina, right, or even pass to Moore on the outside. And so I don't see those as being good things. Robbie Anderson, all of a sudden, hands of stone, Lord Iron Hands. He all of a sudden can't catch anything, right? And so if we're eliminating him from the equation, literally due to, close to 30 targets and caught like four of them or something like that, the numbers are baffling. But for whatever reason, not in it right now. Terrence Mitchell coming back from concussion. He's cleared, healthy, no injury designations. I think that's the guy because if you notice in the Belichick scheme, somebody always benefits, right? They're willing to give up something to completely halt something else. I can see Mitchell being a part of an equation that's working or being a part of garbage time too because they're going to be playing from behind, let's face it. But as far as Carolina goes, the running game is in a good place, I think, to have a good game here. New England has not been great against the run this year. Traditionally been better against the pass. And so, again, I don't like Moore, but I do think Mitchell's in play. I don't like Robbie Anderson. I don't like the tight end for Carolina either. Coming back, CMC, don't know what we're going to get from him. He could have a good day if you were able to play. Hubbard, I think, is going to be involved either way because he can have a decent day if CMC sits. If CMC plays, I think Hubbard still sees some action as they slowly transcend. They don't just, give them all the touches, right? And so for DFS purposes, both are probably too expensive because we're not getting the lion's share of anything from anyone. But for everyday regular football purposes on Sunday, if I'm Carolina, lean on that run. That's what you got to do. Lean on that run. Their defense, not playing poorly this year. The secondary particularly been decent, and now they're getting Stephon Gilmore, who's going to play. He's got some acclimation to the system. Coming over from New England, I don't think there's any love lost there. But more importantly, he probably knows, seen a little bit of what New England has to offer, right? And so I don't very much like Mac Jones this week. I think it's a tough matchup for him when the ground is the way for them. Carolina probably going to allow you to run it a little bit. I don't know if there's going to be much passes caught, but they will allow you to run it. So I like William or Damian Harris, as New England has proven that they're willing to give him that bell cow sort of position if the opportunity warrants itself, like it did last week against the Chargers. And so we're going to go ahead and say New England's going to win this game, but it's going to be on the heels of their defense. Carolina's going to make mistakes that cost them the game. But I do think that those individual players I mentioned can actually perform well this week. Reload. Cleveland at Cincinnati. OBJ's out of there. Who cares? Never really a part of the picture. And so it's hard to miss something you never had from a fantasy perspective. I don't want to talk about it from the wham-wham baby perspective and the feelings and this and that or who's right or who's wrong. It doesn't make us any money. I have relatively low interest in it. It doesn't make us any money. So let's talk about this game. Baker's going to play. He's banged up. I just think the path to victory is running the ball for them. Chubb should have a good day. I don't know how healthy he is. Last week I expected more for him. We kind of got a bust. So I do like De'Ernest Johnson, who looked lively last week. He's going to be involved in that Hunt role. Love it from a DFS perspective. Out on Hunt from DFS perspective. And on Johnson, De'Ernest Johnson. But real life, both should be just fantastic. Those are the things that I like. I'm not so much, I don't want to take a chance on the Cleveland passing game. I mean, Peoples Jones might be coming back. I don't care. I don't want to be involved in any of that. There's other better plays. Cincinnati, for their part, I think should be fine. Burrow can actually win this game. I'm going to say Cincinnati bounces back and gets a win because, again, just like against the Ravens, they bring a little pressure. He's good against a little pressure. Cleveland brings a little pressure. He's good against a little pressure. He's going to get the ball out. And so, for my money, I like him. I like T. Higgins. I like Chase. I think Boyd is the odd man out this week, potentially. But, I like Mixon because of the goal line work and the catching passes. I think that's how he pays off value this week for those owners. But they will find a way to win this game, and I think it's going to be off the heels of their defense. I think Baker deals less admirably with the rush than does Burrow, and I'm going to say that becomes the undertone of the game that Cincinnati wins at home. Reload. Denver at Dallas. So Dak's going to try to play. I think, Denver's got a tough defense, tough secondary, right? Like, they got a tough secondary. It has nothing to do with Von Miller. They're not really missing much pass rush from him, as you would expect. They're not getting a lot of pass rush anyway. So he was really the only person providing significant pressure. And because of that, they weren't overall getting significant pressure that, was amounting to anything as a team. So, moving forward, I don't think the defense is hurt too much, but it's going to be tested against a very top-end offensive passing unit. Luckily for them, Prescott is coming back off that injury, so he's not, particularly 100%. But we hope, as Prescott owners, that he is, closer to 100% than not, right? Maybe just a little bit off is what we're hoping. But there's going to be a true test of wills right there. I think, a stalemate is something that you can expect. Easier path to victory, probably going to be on the ground. I think Denver's more susceptible there. I think Zeke, and Pollard are in play, but I like Zeke. I think Zeke gets the goal line work. I think I very much... even for DFS, I don't think anybody's on that this week. Nobody's looking for that. I like that. I think they should lean on the run, especially to ease Dak back in, right? And so, from that usage standpoint, it just makes sense. That's the thing that makes the most sense. On the other side of the ball for Denver, Teddy B, we're going to go to him this week for DFS. We're going to pay down for him because... it's ultimately, we know what we get. He's not going to have this huge ceiling, right? But the floor is there. He's got all these weapons. He's got everything at his disposal. Dallas, not particularly great against the pass. They do have a decent pass rush. But ultimately, they can be had a little bit. And so, things that I like, Melvin Gordon at the goal line. I don't think he runs up and down the field, though. Javonte Williams probably does better rushing than he does, and I think Javonte has value catching passes. Dallas will let you catch some passes, and that's what they use him for, even though Gordon will catch a pass or two. I also think that, as I said, Bridgewater's got all these weapons, and so they're all in a good spot. I know a lot of people want to go to Albert O because the other tight end, Fant, is out. He's COVID. He's out this week, and it is a good matchup, but so are the rest of the matchups. And so I think Teddy will be able to pick what he wants. The better path to all of it or any of it is going through Teddy. But ultimately, it's not a team that scores a lot anyway. So if you want to do something, you just play him naked. I don't think you get all that other exposure because it just doesn't amount to much. We can just get it all through him. if that's the route you want to go. And I'm thinking as a cash game quarterback, it makes sense because I can make room for a lot of other stuff that I would want to pay up for at other positions. And so I think the production's going to be there as Dallas forces the issue offensively, which holds up more to say now because Prescott's playing and not the backup. And so, you know, if Prescott was out, I'd be a little bit more out on it, thinking more defensive stalemate back and forth. But if he's going to go, I'm going to assume he's good to go, which means the offense is good to go, which means they are, you know, big monster moving forward, which means that Denver will have to play keep up, which means I want those Teddy B trash points in the quarterback position to pay up everywhere else. And again, the Dallas should win at home on the heels of their defense. Offenses, they make too many bumbling mistakes. I don't know how many of those games you've watched, but Denver, they'll find a way to turn it over. Dallas's defense is a great DFS spot this week. Nice price point. They should get a pick, if not a pick six. Reload. Buffalo at Jacksonville. Don't like anything on the Jacksonville side. Completely overmatched in this game. Don't want anything coming back. You could play Allen on the other side, obviously. If you have any of those pieces, like, you know, Sanders or Diggs and Seasonal, great. Load it all up and feel great about it. Knox is out. Sweeney's in. I don't think Sweeney goes as positively as Knox would, even though the matchup is good. I think the Sweeney work is going to Gabriel Davis. I think Gabriel Davis is getting three wide receiver sets as opposed to any tight end sets. So they're just wanting sets without a tight end when Knox is out. I think that'll change when Knox comes back. So don't believe these pundits. Anytime you hear them for the rest of the season when Knox is out, say that Sweeney's in a good spot. Don't believe it because they believe more in Gabriel Davis than they do Sweeney. And so if the matchup is good for Davis, they'd rather go there than they would to Sweeney. I hope that really made sense to you guys, which is why I'm always going to be out on Sweeney. Something that I was realizing 2 weeks ago. But ultimately, Allen's in play. I really do think Singletary's in play because if you want to go with the narrative that Moss is the lead by a little, then I guess if it's a blowout, then you got to give somebody the ball in the back end of that blowout. So I'm thinking, why not pair Allen with Singletary? But it's really Russian roulette in a game where we can just say for sure they're going to win. Jacksonville's not going to be able to stop them. They're going to score a lot of points, hopefully, unless weather or something crazy happens. In a game that they should win easily and just keep marching forward and get to 6-2. Reload. Houston going to Miami. Tyrod Taylor is going to play in this one. Okay, because of that, I don't want any parts of the receivers for Houston who haven't been completely trashed this year. The running game has been completely trashed this year. After last week, we have to abandon all hopes. I don't care who's out. Burkhead, whoever. I don't care. I don't want any parts of that. We're not going to do that anymore, even though it's a soft matchup against Miami. It seems like more of a stalemate to me, really, is what it is, right? If you wanted to play either one of those defenses, I'm not mad at you. I think we can get some sloppy play turnovers, maybe. I lean more Miami than Houston, but I just don't think price-wise you got to go there, especially in the, you know, DFS world this week. But if you wanted to, you could for some reason if you needed to. It is going to be points, though. It's going to be points scored. Again, for Houston, even though Nico Collins, and they're getting Chris Conley back, they have Brandon Cooks, right? Like they've got receivers who've at different times flashed, but it's a new quarterback. And so we can't say that the usage that they enjoyed with Mills is going to be the same usage that they enjoy with Tyrod. We also know Tyrod is more mobile. And so there's different aspects to how it lines up. And so I don't want to take a guess, especially with why guess on ancillary pieces of a bad team that may not even do well, right? Like, they're so bad. So I don't need any part of it. The Miami side, gas is in a good place, but I don't know that I necessarily would want to go there because, you know, Salvin Ahmed or whoever else, I don't know. I mean, you know, Gesicki's in a good place too. Tua's in a good place too. But ultimately, I want to say Miami's going to win this game. That's what I think is going to happen. But I'm concerned that it's not going to be the mega offense that everybody thinks because people keep talking about how bad Miami is against the run, and then it's like how bad Houston is against the run and how bad Miami is to pass and then how bad Houston is. Look, it's not going to be just back and forth Tecmo Bowl. I promise you guys it won't be that. But Miami will win. I think Gesicki can be counted on in this game. I really don't mind the Miami defense in this game. If you want to go with Gaskin, that's fine. but it would have to be a tournament. If it was a DFS thing, you know, maybe we fit that in. Honestly, it's not in my picks right now. I just think there's other things that we can do at different price points. Reload. Atlanta at New Orleans. Yeah, so I was out on Taysom Hill, you know, when people thought he was starting, just because from an ownership perspective, too popular. I can't do anything when it's that popular and to separate myself, and I can get those points from somewhere else. For Simeon, not a bad matchup still, but I think for him it is a little bit more of a downgrade. You know, Kamara is in play for seasonal. Feel great about that. Him and Ingram should 1-2 it as much as they can all afternoon. For DFS, he's probably too expensive, and Ingram won't do enough to get work. I don't want Simeon in DFS. I'm not going to try to be savvy like that. He's not that good of a signal caller. There's easier points to get out there. There's cheaper quarterbacks, or as cheap quarterback, or relatively as cheap quarterbacks that will give you a lot more points. Okay. But New Orleans should win this game. I do think that Matt Ryan is going to have way more pressure put on him by the New Orleans defense, and they should be able to force some wacky turnovers from him, for sure. From their perspective, running the ball is the thing that New Orleans is really good at. And so, you know, no Mike Davis, and, you know, much of the running aspect of what you get from the Atlanta, I don't think is going to be there, honestly. And so from a receiving perspective, probably just too truncated. So I just don't like the outlook for them, right? You could go Saints defense if you want. But again, when there's like these, I guess it's like when there's these seasonal matchups, it's too familiar. It's just too much flip-flop, and I just think there's way more straightforward scenarios. But for my money, New Orleans wins that one. Reload. Okay, Vegas going to the Giants. It's a West Coast team traveling east early. They've had some turmoil this week with Ruggs. I feel sorry for that young lady and pray for her. But for Oakland, there's, you know, it's a decent spot, but there's just so much dragging them right now that I think it's going to be tough. I'm not saying they can't win this game, but it's going to be tough. I think you could look at the Giants and say, oh, they're going to roll them over, but it's a lot more going into this one than that. They've got to get ready after an emotional week. It's a long game. Guys, if you don't know what the lag is when you go west to east, it's like playing at 10 a.m. It's like playing the game at 10 a.m. So you got to be up, be ready and all before that, right? This is extremely different from the scenario that they are used to. And so traditionally, West Coast teams going east get the bump down, even from everywhere, like Vegas, right? And so this is a thing this week with everything they've experienced. Ruggs is out of the offense. Let's talk about that. And so now you have different pieces. Zay Jones is going to play that part. He's never been effective, so I don't expect anything from him. Carr can't activate him. I'm sorry. That's not going to happen. Zay's been with good quarterbacks before, and nothing happens. As far as on the outside, Braylon Edwards probably going to see that coverage from Bradbury, and Bradbury covers the big receivers well. So I think that that's more of a stalemate scenario. So Renfro is where I think, you know, you can see a lot of potential. Or Waller, he's in a good spot. And Jacobs is also in a good spot. But again, he's been a little banged up. I don't know if he's going to get the full workload or if he shares it with Drake a little bit, but whoever's running the ball has a chance to be effective. I think they squeak by in this game, but it's going to be a lot closer than people think. They're going to have to work to get this one. Danny Dimes is in a good place. Vegas pretty bad against running quarterbacks, and so he should be able to take off for a few, which adds to his upside. They do get after you with the rush, so he's going to have to get rid of it. I don't mind Evan Ingram this week. I'm not so much for the running game of the Giants, though, and I think that's going to be a problem. Like, I know people have gotten a little work from Booker, but I'm just out. I'm sorry. I'm out. I can't do it. And all those other pieces, you know, I know people like Tony and everything this week, but, you know, Vegas, decent defense, a little better in the secondary. I don't think you need to take those chances, right? If you want to get involved with it, Danny Dimes is the way. That's the way to get the exposure DFS-wise. I'll play him in a tournament, but I'm not going out of my way to do that in a contest where hopefully they should be trying to play keep up, which is where you would think they would give you the points that you're looking for. Reload. Chargers going to visit Philly. This is an afternoon game, though, guys. So this is not the same thing as the early game that we mentioned. It's like a 105 game for them, so no big deal. That's when they normally play. Chargers going to Philly, though. Look, story of this one for Philly has to be that the two starting corners for the Chargers are out. You know that they're a run funnel defense by now, if you've been listening. They want to force you to run the ball. They don't want to give up anything over the top, get burned deep or anything like that, right? Like keep everything in front of themselves. The two starting corners are both out this week. And so I think that's a problem for the Chargers. And so as of hearing that, Jalen Hurts, light him up, because Chargers aren't great against the run anyway, but now he should be able to pass too. I like Quez Watkins because of that, but more importantly, Devonta Smith, right? And so you got to fit those two in for DFS purposes. Watkins is pretty cheap. There's a lot of different options that you have now. Goddard was in a good spot too, and so this really unlocks the Philadelphia passing offense. And so I do think you go down on Boston Scott. You go down on that. You go down on that, because the Chargers will who knows if they'll be good at it, but they're going to make a better effort to stop the run because they don't have those same pieces of the defense back there. So on their side of the ball, Philly, pretty decent against the outside receivers all year, like tops in the league. And so Mike Williams going to have a tough day. But they're pretty bad in the slot. So Keenan Allen should have a fantastic day. Cook across the middle, Jared Cook, he's in a good spot as well. And then also against the run, Philly's having some issues. And so Austin Eckler also in play. Those are the pieces that can move the wheel for the Chargers. And ultimately, I'm going to give them this game on the road, I think. But it's going to take Herbert doing everything he can to keep his guys in position to win this game. I can't go with him for DFS purposes because I think Eckler is in too good of a spot despite him. But together with Allen and Cook, they could get it done. Reload. Green Bay at Kansas City. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Rodgers is not going to play in this one. He's going to sit this one out. So Jordan Love is getting the start for Green Bay as they go to Kansas City. Kansas City, a lot of turnovers. A lot of turnovers by Mahomes this year. And so Green Bay has been a fairly decent defense. They've had some injuries, but they've replaced some pieces, got some guys back. And so they're in a pretty decent spot if Mahomes continues to play as he has all year, which I suspect he will. Can the Chiefs win the game? Yeah. Will they win the game? I do think so. However, it's going to be painful. I think he makes a bunch of mistakes against this defense probably. And that sort of keeps it closer than it needs to be. A lot of what we saw last week against the Giants, right? But this is a better defense than the Giants defense. And so that defense came away with positive points in a game that they lost. I don't see why Green Bay couldn't do the same thing. And they're dirt cheap for DFS purposes, right? So there's that aspect of it. Everybody's going to be riding Jordan Love for DFS. Can't do it. It's too popular. And we can get those points from somewhere else. I know it's a pretty good matchup, but he's a backup. We don't see enough of him. I don't want to take chances when I don't have to. I'm not worried about Davante Adams being activated. It's the everything else. Like, where does everything else come from, right? If it's only Devontae and you really got to have Devontae, play him in DFS, but I wouldn't be doing that this week. I just don't think you need to get involved there when Kansas City is so bad against the run. And I think you hammer Jones and you hammer Dillon. So very interested in Jones for DFS purposes this week. I think the run, setting up that run to take some burden off of Love is ultimately the way to go. Mercedes Lewis is dirt cheap in DFS. Look to him if you need him. That check down option, I think, is going to be there for Green Bay. Those are the ways that I think are the path to victory for them, even though they don't win this game. Mahomes will make some mistakes on the other side, but he can win this one. Kelsey's playing banged up. He's in a good spot, but is he going to be able to produce? I'm not sure. Much more likely Tyreek Hill can be effective. And so, I'll take a chance there with everything else maybe getting shored up. I do like on the ground Williams this week, Darrell Williams. So, load him up. I do think that, again, they can take some burden off of Mahomes by calling a few more runs. I think Andy Reid has shown in the past a willingness to do this. And so, unless Mahomes is going to check out all of it at the line, I think Williams is in play for tournaments this week for sure. But Kansas City wins this game. We just have to watch how sloppy it is or isn't. Reload. Arizona, the Desert Birds going to San Francisco, their divisional rival. Look, Arizona is banged up right now. Kyler Murray, as of right now, may or may not play. Friday night, may or may not play. The ankle is banged up. I think the thing that you like against San Fran is playing a running quarterback. Look at what Fields just did to them last week. We knew it. We played it. It worked for us fantastically. That was the hope this week. But if he's banged up, then there's a little less of that upside for him. On top of that, Hopkins is banged up too. Right, and so now we're talking Walking Dead. So I want to lean on the run a little bit more. And if you had to, I'd have to say it's Connor of the two because he's been scoring the touchdown, and Edmonds has not been scoring the touchdowns. And so let's go with the guy who's been getting in the box. He's been getting the red zone touches, if you will. So that perspective I do like for them. On the San Francisco side of things, Deebo Samuel also banged up, but probably going to try to play. I like Brandon Ayuk. He's coming on, and so if Samuel is banged up, I think, you know, he might have a harder time getting some separation, but maybe Ayuk can blow the top off of it. Arizona's shown to have some problems in the secondary anyway. They've been tougher up front, but now you lost Watt, right? And so you've got some issues going on. So San Fran can run the ball, presumably with Mitchell. Fred Wilson may shoot up. I don't know who's going to shoot up for them, but presumably Mitchell totes the rock. He's in a good spot. I don't want to take a chance with that team and their merry-go-round, though. Who knows who they actually go with? But Kittle should come back. It's a tough matchup, though, so I'm not really looking for much there. But good to get him back on the field, get the reps under him. San Fran's going to play it tough. As of right now, I'm going to give the game to them. If Murray plays and Hopkins plays, I'll say they find a way to win. Reload. Next game is Tennessee. The Titans going to LA to take on the Rams on Sunday Night Football. Tennessee is overmatched in this one because they don't have their boy, Henry. Henry's out, and the replacements are in a decent spot, and there's some injuries on the D-line for the Rams, and also Von Miller's probably not going to play this week. There's some possibility there, but who knows what we're going to get from these guys. McNichols and Adrian Peterson, you know, they're saying he's flashing in practice. Guys, we know what we're getting. They've wheeled out the ghost of Adrian Peterson. I wouldn't be surprised if he got like 20 carries for 70 yards. I don't have any interest in that. We've seen that before. No one's going to convince me that it's not going to be like that until I see it. And so if it were going to be different, I don't necessarily think it's the Rams it would, even if they are a little depleted. So I'm a little out on that. Julio Jones is probably going to play. He's a little banged up, though. He's probably going to play. A.J. Brown's going to play, I think, even though he's a little banged up. Doesn't matter. The Rams are better against the pass, better in the secondary. So that's not a great matchup for Tannehill. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Tannehill, I believe, from the Rams. And as I said, the run game is a little suspect. So I do find them just to be completely overmatched in this game. The Rams' defense is in a good spot. Darrell Henderson is in a good spot. You know, can run the football. Sony Michel, I'm assuming, is going to be a blowout. Cooper Kupp's in a good spot. Matthew Stafford's in a good spot. Woods will probably even see some more targets as they try to keep him involved. But Tennessee's going to have their hands full this week all around. And trying to get out the gate without Henry, I just think it's going to take them more than 1 week to figure it out. And they're not going to figure it out against this Rams team, who's 7-1 at home on Sunday night, unfortunately. So Rams will win this one. Tennessee will go home and scratch their head and think about it. But hopefully it doesn't get too bloody out there. And for the final shot, we'll make it a good one because it's my Bears on Monday night going to Pittsburgh to take that butt whipping. We know what this is now at this point. Fields is getting his chops. They're letting him, you know, see what's out there in terms of the competition, letting him see the looks, see the coverages, feel the feels. And the feels are tough for him right now. But they're allowing that to happen for next year with the eye of looking for next year, which is probably why Mooney's more involved than Robinson is at this point. Robinson should probably go to the Chiefs or something like that. But for fantasy purposes, not much I'm looking at from Chicago. I mean, Khalil Herbert has to be involved because of, you know, last man up. I mean, there's literally nobody else. But when you look at the rest of the Chicago offense, I just don't think that there's enough versus this Pittsburgh defense. They are pretty good against – they have a pretty good pass rush. Fields has been absolutely abominable, against the pass rush this year. And so he's in trouble. They're in trouble. Pittsburgh, from there, and Najee should be – Najee's going to find value, whether he's catching passes or, you know, running up the middle. He's going to get the looks and the touches. If he can score at the goal line, he could pay off. But ultimately, Deontay Johnson probably in a better spot. Claypool should probably even be in a decent spot. Those are the easier paths to victory. So Ben might have to work a little on Monday, but I think he's fully prepared to do it. However they decide to go, I don't think this is a game that they'll have to work too hard offensively to win. I think their defense is going to force Fields to play bad, and they will win. And this will probably end up being a bookmarker into the firing of the Chicago Nagy coaching regime. All right, that's our games for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope that information is valuable to you. We've been nailing it this week, so cheers to doing it again for week 9. Let's play a round of Would You Rather. Time for a little week 9 Would You Rather. So maybe we can help you guys figure out who you would rather in certain scenarios. All right, let's get it on. Tyreek Hill or Alvin Kamara? Tyreek Hill, Alvin Kamara. Who knows exactly how much upside he has, even though he's in a good spot. Tyreek Hill still has Mahomes throwing it to him. We saw against the Giants how much chemistry they can have, even in a game that isn't particularly the best for them. So, Hill, with that in mind. Boston Scott or Hunter Renfro? Talk through it. Now you guys know why I'm off Scott a little bit. Hunter Renfro. Dalton Schultz or Rashad Bateman? Bateman. Dak's got too many weapons. Dalton's in a good spot, but he doesn't necessarily need to go to him. And Lamar forces his targets into his two receivers, Bateman and Hollywood Brown. Van Jefferson or Kenneth Gainwell? Van Jefferson. Tony Pollard or Brandon Ayuk? Pollard's not in a bad spot, but I'm going to go Ayuk this week. He's going to get unlocked. Tyler Boyd or Boston Scott? Perhaps Boston Scott this week over Boyd. Okay, Dalvin Cook or Justin Jefferson? I like Dalvin Cook a lot this week. This is a tough one because I think Justin Jefferson can go off. I'm going to say Jefferson. Normally, I would say Cook. I'm going Jefferson. And my picks will definitely back that up, as you'll see shortly. James Conner or Rashad Bateman? Give me Conner. So many injuries. They're going to have to lean on him. Jarvis Landry or Darren Waller? I will go with Waller. Emmanuel Sanders or Myles Gaskin? Gaskin. But Sanders is in a good spot. It's just that Allen has so many weapons. Cortland Sutton or Boston Scott? Give me Scott. Marvin Jones Jr. or Melvin Gordon III? I'll go with Melvin Gordon III. T. Higgins or Michael Carter? Michael Carter already played. I think T. Higgins gets more than 9 half-point PPR points for sure. Darrell Williams or Hunter Renfro? Darrell Williams. Robert Woods or Michael Carter? Carter already played. Does Woods get more than 9 points? Yes, he does. Hunter Renfrey or Van Jefferson? That's 9 points, half-point PPR, guys. Don't be like at me, right? Like, oh, he has the wrong point. It's just that format, right? Chill. Hunter Henry or Van Jefferson? I'm going to go with Hunter Henry. He's in a pretty decent spot. But Van Jefferson won't get as many targets, so I'll go with Hunter Henry based off the targets. Justin Jefferson or Elijah Mitchell? Mitchell. I'm assuming, again, Mitchell's the lead back. Jamal Agnew or Pat Freiermuth? Between the two, yeah, I'm going to go Agnew just because maybe some blowout yardage. They're always looking to him. Freiermuth's got a genuinely tough matchup with the Bears defense. Jerry Jeudy or Chuba Hubbard? I'm going to go with Chuba Hubbard. Again, Judy's in a good spot. He's getting some looks, but there's so many weapons. I don't know where Teddy's going to go. He's not forcing it to one person, whereas Chubbard's in more of a condensed situation. Okay, Julio Jones or Zach Ertz? I believe I will go with Julio if Murray sits. If Murray plays, I'll go with Ertz. I just don't know what Julio's going to give you against the Rams. Mike Davis or Kadarius Toney? I'll give you Toney, but I'm not expecting much. I'm picking him because Mike Davis won't do anything this week. Adrian Peterson or Jacoby Myers? I'll give you Peterson. Jacoby Myers or Chuba Hubbard? Hubbard. D'Ernest Johnson or Brandon Ayuk? It's a tough one. I think Ayuk, I'm going to say. But D'Ernest is not in a bad spot. I like him a lot. Mike Gesicki or Jalen Waddle? Mike Gesicki. Waddle is actually going up against one of the toughest slot corners. It's the outside that they're better guarding against. And Devontae Parker is not going to play. And so, you know, for Miami, again, you know, maybe we do lean more on Gesicki and we do lean more on Gaskin, if you will. But certainly not Waddle, I wouldn't say. Yeah, we'll take that in consideration because Devontae Parker, they just ruled him out today. So, DJ Moore, Kyle Pitts. I will go with probably I'll say Kyle Pitts, but they're both in a bad spot. DJ Moore is not in a better spot against New England. I'm probably going Kyle Pitts, but tough. Boston Scott or Rondale Moore will probably go with Boston Scott. Unless Kyler doesn't play, then I would go Rondale. Last one, Zach Ertz or Jarvis Landry? Landry, because we just know that Baker's going to be looking for him. But that is the Would You Rather for this week 9. Hopefully that's helpful to you guys. You guys now know a little bit more about who I would rather in certain scenarios. There you go. And now time for the part of the show where the process goes over our DFS fantasy football picks for the week. We'll go over cash game plays, tournament or GPP plays, and sometimes talk about stacks that you can use to leverage your wins for the week. DFS picks for the week. Glad we're able to talk through some of the concepts earlier. Excited to hopefully be giving you guys the goods, and I've got it pretty condensed this week in terms of what I want to do and where I'm looking to see the most action. And so let's just get after it. As far as the QBs go, for cash game purposes, I've got three that I want to go with. You could pay up for Josh Allen, $8,200. I'm a little concerned that he's going to get pulled. It's a blowout, so I don't know, you know, how much, but I realize he's going to be the guy to get them there, right? Because he even takes goal line touchdown. So it's worth the look if you want to pay up. Lamar Jackson at $7,300 is a sweet spot to me. That's where I'm going for my cash game, undoubtedly. And then Teddy B. Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to go Lamar, but I'm probably going to end up paying down, as I said earlier, with Teddy B. I did look at this earlier. I tried to make it work with Lamar. I'll probably use him in a tournament. I couldn't do the cash game lineup that I wanted with Lamar, so I had to go with Teddy B. But for the reasons that I've talked about, for the reasons that worked, you know, when we were targeting Tua, the reason, you know, some of this other stuff, we can do this, right? $5,300 is very friendly, and it gets us passage to a lot of other stuff. So for cash games, I'm sticking to those three: Allen, Jackson, Bridgewater. And full disclosure, probably going Bridgewater because it opens my world up. GPP, the tournaments, the top, Kyler Murray, $7,900. We want to take a stab whether he play, if he plays, right? If he doesn't play, obviously don't play him. If he plays, take a stab. Don't expect much, but the upside, if he plays and does well, to get him on low ownership, under 8K, is a dream, right? And so if somehow it works out, I want to take a stab on that, but I won't take any of the other pieces, and I don't feel, you know, I don't blame you if you don't want to do it. Next up, $6,800, Joe Burrow, lock it in. This dude's got at least two touchdowns going all the way back when, right? He can do it, right? Both ways uphill and twice on Sunday, as they say. So I'm going with Big Game Joe at $6,800. And right under him, penciled in, now that we know the two Chargers DBs are out, Jalen Hurts at $6,700. Get it how you live, Playboy. And finally, if you want to pay down, Danny Dimes, $5,600. I went over the reasons why I can't roll with Carr this week, even though I think it's a game they can win, and even though it's some adversity. But if there's that adversity, then that means Danny Dimes did his thing. And so I'm rolling with it because, again, $5,600 gets me open to a lot of other stuff that I really want to get involved in. Those are the quarterbacks. Running backs, cash game running backs. I've got three. I've really got three for you. Eckler, $7,900. Jones from Green Bay, $7,200. And then Johnson from Cleveland, $5,400. Eckler's a supreme play. Jones should get the run. You know, we know last minute that Aaron Rodgers is out. We get it. You know, it's a good matchup for the pass game too. But the run, why not lean on it? You did it a little last game. It worked well, a little 1-2 punch. But I don't know if Dylan will see enough to pay off his salary. Jones can pay this off, though. I think they give it to him, and we see what he has here. I like the Ernest Johnson over Chubb because Chubb's a little too expensive for upside that hasn't been there in quite some time. I'm not saying he's a different player. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying even if he does well, to pay off, he'll have to do really, really well. And I could see him just doing like well, but not really well. But at $5,400, Johnson's going to play the hunt role. So I want to get exposure to that at that friendly low-end hunt price, $5,400. So those are the three cash game quarterbacks I'm playing. Tournaments, we got a couple more options. Cook, Dalvin Cook, $7,700. Like him. Like the price. It should hopefully scare some people off. It's a good matchup for him against Baltimore, especially with those injuries looming. Ezekiel Elliott, $7,000. I'm in on that too. I don't think anybody's going to be looking for that against Denver, but he can pay off, especially if he has paid dirt a couple times. Damien Harris, New England, you know, 6K. We can pay that for a scenario where I think the run is the easiest path to victory for New England, and they've shown in the past couple weeks that they'll give it to him in a significant portion, right? So we're locked in for 6K, and he's one of my most popular running backs on the tournament side, along with Darrell Williams from Kansas City at $5,700. It's a different game now, right? It's a different game without Rodgers. You don't have to go crazy. You can slow it down a little bit more, which they probably may not do. But even if they get up against Love and company, you can run. They're going to run it out a little bit, right? I just think Williams has an opportunity to pay off that salary. Connor at $5,300. I'm choosing him over Edmonds because of his touchdown exposure versus Edmonds. But I get it. If you want to choose the other one, no problem. But I think as Murray, you know, is looking more doubtful, that's looking better, right? More so. And then Singletary, $4,500 at the bottom. I mentioned earlier, pairing him up with Allen in a GPP sort of a tournament perspective, because I probably won't pay Allen in the cash game, like I said. So I'll probably put them in a tournament lineup because he'll get the cleanup work if Allen does the front loading, right? And so hopefully that double pairing makes sense, maybe even put the defense with it, even though there's a lot less data behind throwing the defense in there, paying up for that. All right, moving on to the wide receivers then. As far as the wide receivers go, for cash games, couple options for you here. I've actually got five of them. Tyreek Hill, $7,900. I think Mahomes will find him. Mahomes is playing bad, but he's not hurt, right? He'll get it to him. Justin Jefferson, $7,500 in a great spot. I want that. I don't think people will be as inclined to go there, but I'm willing to take that chance at that price and watch him pay off very much like Chase did for us several weeks back. Keenan Allen at $6,700. Explain why the matchup's better for him than Williams and exactly what the path to victory is there. And so I'm in on it. If Philly is not going to face those starting corners, theoretically, they should have an easier time scoring. This unlocks Allen further, and so we've got to get invested, right? T. Higgins, Baltimore from Cincinnati, $5,300 is a friendly price for somebody who's second in the pecking order. He sees more targets. He's more involved than Boyd. He's right behind Chase. Chase can't get everything. This is one where I think passing makes a little bit more sense to them. Should be a competitive game. I'm in it with T. Higgins. Bateman at 4K is my cheapest cash game receiver. He gets so many targets, guys. So many targets. He has to do so little to pay that off for us. And as I just explained, it's a great environment for Lamar in the last segment. So those are the cash game quarterbacks, or cash games wide receivers, rather. As far as the tournaments go, $7,600, Jamar Chase at the top. You've seen what he's done, so we can lock him in and put him with Burrow and go after that tournament. Hollywood Brown, $6,000. Love it, love it, love it. He's in a good spot. Emmanuel Sanders, $5,600, and obviously a good spot as well. Don't forget about at $5,200, Devontae Smith. Now we slot him in. And, you know, that's a pretty good pick. That's a very good pick right now if you want to throw him into a cash game. I don't have a problem with that either. You could literally do that if you wanted to. But I think having T. Higgins makes it irrelevant for me there, which is why I'll just play it in tournaments and pair him with Hurts. Hunter Renfrow at $4,800, very interested. And then Brandon Ayuk at $4,100. These are friendly prices for guys that are going to be involved in the offense for sure. Quez Watkins at $3,800. You can take a spin there if you want. But then Terrence Marshall Jr., $3,200 at the bottom against New England. Massive good vibes about the opportunity that he's going to have as Belichick plays his chess match to take away your pieces that you most rely on. They don't rely on Marshall that much. I just think that there will be some opportunity for him on Sunday. At that price, he won't burn me too much. Tight ends for the cash game. Waller, $6,200. Moreau if he doesn't go, but I think Wallace fine. I thought he was a little banged up or whatever, but doesn't seem to be on report, so we should be able to get after it. Goddard, your next cash game quarterback, $4,500, right behind him. He's in a great spot, as you now understand. With Philly, he was in a good spot before. I like him a little less now that the Philly wide receivers are a little more activated, but he's still in a good spot. I think we do lean less on him, though. Cook, on the other side of things, $3,300 is in a good spot for Justin Herbert and company. Lewis, Mercedes Lewis, $2,900 for Green Bay. Love is probably going to do some checkdowns, right? And so $2,900 is too friendly of a price to pay there. For tournaments, GPPs for the tight ends, Kelsey at the top, $7,000. He's in a decent spot, but he's been playing banged up, right, and not doing much. At that price, I'm not sure if many people will be on to him, and so we can pay down in other ways to pay up for it and separate ourselves with that lineup. Gesicki at $4,900, like a little more now that Parker's out. Uzoma, $3,900, maybe put him with Chase and Burrow. Conklin, Tyler Conklin, $3,000, Minnesota tight end. I like him. He's in a great spot. And then Albert O at $2,600 if you want to punt at the bottom because Fant is out. But again, Teddy B can get the ball around to very many of these guys. So I think you're taking a chance. But if you want, I don't have a problem with that. And then finally, as far as these defenses go, a couple of defenses that you can actually roll with this week. You can go with the Pats, $4,100 at Carolina, you know, obviously in a great spot. And they produce points, which is most important. That's what you really want. The Bills at Jacksonville, $4,000, also in a great spot. Those are the two most expensive defenses, though. And so to get cheaper, the middle range defense you should look at, Cowboys versus Denver, $3,300. Explain how they should be able to generate some points off turnovers earlier in the show. And then lastly, on the cheaper end, you can take these two teams playing each other, Chiefs and the Packers. I think that the Chiefs are playing a backup quarterback, and they are at home. They get a significant bump. It's a better matchup than $2,300 price tag for them suggests. And so we win because of the late designation of Rodgers. The prices were already set. We have to take advantage of that and win. People are thinking this is the thought process behind playing Love. We don't need to do that. Do it here, right here, right? As far as the Packers defense go, they are in play. They were more so in play when I thought Rodgers was playing, but at $2,800, we like them. They can get you a little different than the Chiefs defense now if people are trying to be a little smart like I am. But they're also in play. It's just a closer game because Mahomes has been playing poorly. The Packers could theoretically lose and still get positive points just like the Giants did, and they're a much better defense. And so if you want to get different and get invested, that is a way that you may think about doing it this week. But those are your DFS picks, and the biggest takeaway that I want you guys to have from this week is that the Empire has got to strike back. We are outmanned, but we are never outgunned. Strike down the insurgents, wherever they may be, in week 9. congratulations to those Atlanta Braves for winning the 2021 World Series. Good luck to you guys on Sunday with your DFS and your season-long fantasy games. And we'll come back next week and hash it out. Peace.
The process is brought to you by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment.